The following podcast contains adult themes and adult language. Listener discretion advised.
And although we joke, if you or someone you know is affected by or a victim of domestic violence, dial 1-800-799-7233 or visit the National Domestic Violence Hotline's website, thehotline.org.
It's always the husband, it's always the husband, it's always the husband, I don't keep it.
Hey everyone, it's Sarah.
Hi, it's Megan.
And welcome to It's Always the Husband.
Hi, welcome.
Welcome. My husband is currently gone from my house, and
you guys,
it has been 5 days he's gone. Five.
Tell them what he's doing, because that's even more crazy.
My husband, Jamie, which you know if you listen, he sings the theme song, and the final word is bitch.
Yes.
Some people will try to redo the theme song. I don't know how. I mean, like, better quality. I enjoy the theme song, but maybe
too.
A little better quality. Final sentence is, I'm going to kill you, bitch. Megan, very, maybe you can sing it.
Very appropriate.
Yeah. Because I can't sing.
It's always a husband. It's always a... Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
It's always a husband. I'm going to kill you, bitch.
Yes. So it's bitch. Again, sorry,
horrible.
Moms. Oh. Anyway, my husband, Friday... So this comes out on a Tuesday, so the Friday before, got up real early with a friend of his. He is in Colorado and did rim to rim to rim. That is not a sexual thing, I found out. I was thinking like he was going on some sort of weird sexual trip, and I was okay with that. But I guess it's not. It's running the Grand Canyon. You run down one rim, across, up, down, back, up.
Rim
so it's
to rim.
50-some miles or 49 or something. Terrible. Truly horrific. But he was in heaven the entire time running.
Rim to
and I guess
rim
it's some rim to rim to rim. Rim. Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon.
And he did it. He accomplished it and was super proud of himself. I'm proud of him too. That's a
47.5 miles.
Yeah, that sounds
that
about
correct?
Right.
Oh my God, just like horrible ups and downs. 8,178 feet high, 2,454 feet low.
Yes. So he started in freezing, like pretty cold weather up really early, like at 4 a.m. They started, you hike down, you run. It gets super hot in the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
And the Park Service turns off the water. And
yes,
you told me,
they did not have water for like 4 hours, he said. Or then they had to find water. And there was some pipe burst as well that added to the water shortage. So they ran without water for like 4 hours, which I guess is pretty bad. I'm not a runner per se.
Running without Prosecco seems
right. So they were kind of dehydrating, but I'm dehydrated every day because I drink water about once a month. I have about 8 ounce glass about once a month.
Me too. Yeah,
I just put it in.
It's got a 5-star rating, so I can't wait to hear about it. It looks, I mean, if you like,
he was elated
scenery,
when he was done.
Yeah.
And said it was incredibly beautiful. Like he couldn't even describe it. It was so beautiful. And I'm sure, you know, just nobody really does that to see it. So just the chosen few that can. But good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah.
He's like 65 or 70 or something. So that's pretty good at that age.
He is not.
He's younger than me, actually. So.
Yeah. I was like, Jesus, we're the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of the same age, we graduated in 94, or did he graduate in 93?
He's 93, like me. Okay. We both graduated in 93. He is like 3 months younger than me.
Oh.
But I'm still older. Cougar.
Okay. Yeah,
cougar. But he's younger.
And that was the year that the story we're going to talk about.
It's 94.
94,
Oh,
yeah. Oh,
you
graduated
in 94. I'm 93 because I'm 90210 was 1993. Uh-huh.
So this was, again, the year of Boys to Men. I'm never going to stop saying it. Shout out to Michelle, who every time I say Boys to Men, she texts me and says, I'm so glad that you're still talking about them.
I heard them on the radio at our other job, Club Pilates. We can say that one.
Yeah, Club Pilates.
And they played it, and I was going to take a picture and send it to you, but I couldn't find my phone. Oh. And just say, oh, they're playing, because it was on 90s pop for class. Yeah. Oh,
so fun. Yeah, so that was 94, yeah. And I graduated from high school.
But before we go into that, we have a new Patreon.
Shut up!
We have been getting Patreons, and we're so excited.
It's a good thing, too, because our computer is about shot to shit.
Yeah, it's real shitty. I mean, totally shitty. Everything is shitty. We're in the hole a lot of money. But this is my passion. This is the only thing keeping me going right now. So I'm willing to put some effort into it. But Corey Shellard, if I pronounce the name right, does that look right?
Yeah.
Thank you, honey. You are the best. Mm-hmm. We love you. We cannot believe that you are giving money to a bunch of two whores.
Yeah.
We are so appreciative. We can't even stand it. You are amazing. And to the other Patreons, we are just in awe of the fact that you are listeners and appreciate us. We are so grateful that I really can't even put it into words. Proper words. I'm not one of those people that can do words. Things. Yeah. And it's a podcast that I do.
Since we're podcasters, you'd think.
You'd think so, but
that we could do words.
But I can't.
No.
No.
I am forever thankful for our Patreons. And Kristen J from last week, your Patreon stuff is on the way. So
yes.
Be on the lookout for that.
Be on the lookout.
And new stickers are coming next week.
Yes. When are they? They are Prosecco? On route. They're, so they should be up on the shop soon.
Okay. Good.
And my sister, I meant to bring her a little care package today when I saw her and I forgot. Sorry, Natale. And she did try to find a picture of her in her lime green multiples from another episode and we cannot find it. And I said, how? You wore it every day for years.
No one took a picture.
Years. No, we have to have some, but we can't. We have to find it.
Like only no one took pictures back then like we do now. We take a damn picture every day.
Right. My grandma Harriet took a picture of everyone every 5 seconds, and we had camcorders. We recorded every minute of our lives, which now is hilarious. Yeah. We watch all the time, but nobody did. We videotaped like the real world, MTV, like our family all the time with our big camcorder that fit over your shoulder. Yeah, we videotaped everything.
Oh. No.
In the 80s. So we have it now, but my daughter enjoys watching me as a kid.
When we were like in 7th or 8th grade, this is embarrassing, but we would play Barbies and videotape the Barbie, like it was a soap opera, but we would videotape the Barbies like we were doing a show with the Barbies.
And let's see, who is the nerd of this show? Me? Yet I didn't ever videotape myself playing with Barbies at grade 8.
But you were playing with He-Man.
Well, I mean, it's He-Man.
Were you making videos with He-Man? He-Men?
I probably
What's
did.
The plural of He-Man?
He-Man and friends.
And friends?
I probably did for sure.
Just like Barbie and friends.
Barbie and friends. Also had and Garfield and the friends. And Gem. Too. I did have a Gem doll. Misfits.
Well, Tiffany, I just told everyone.
How embarrassing, Tiffany.
Story.
How embarrassing. How do you hang your head high and walk down the street?
We were infantile and just still.
But when I would play Barbies, all of the boyfriends' names were from Days of Our Lives. Like we would take.
Like Patch.
Like Bo and Patch. And
fancy
Adrian and Justin, we like that couple. Where Adrian was like super nerd and Justin liked her so much and she got her man. I don't know. Days of Our Lives in the 80s was the best.
It was.
General Hospital in the 90s was the best.
I was into Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives in the 90s was the best too, because that was Marlena.
Yeah, the devil. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, 1994. One of the best years ever again, 1993. Mm-hmm. Great year for movies. I mean, it was actually pretty good. So we have had a 94 before because I remember like it was Lion King, Forrest Gump, Speed, Ace Ventura, all great. Mm-hmm. But if some movies you maybe didn't see and should check out, Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, was an independent movie about drag queens in Australia.
Nope.
One of the best independent movies ever made.
What is it called?
I saw it when I was in California in college. We went to see it. It's really good. Really, really good. Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
No.
Really good. So, and it actually has like Guy Pearce, who's been in tons of movies. He's just kind of like a character actor. Hugh, who was in Matrix and Lord of the Rings movies.
Again.
I know.
Nope.
But really good.
Princess Beatrice?
Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh my God, I was so far off.
Clifford with Martin Short was a favorite of my sister and I. I mean, people are going to say, what a terrible movie. I love Martin Short so much. Like, if I had to choose between meeting Jason Momoa or Martin Short, it would be hard for me.
No.
Like, really hard. That's how much I love Martin Short. It would take weeks for me to decide.
Really?
And I love Jason Momoa more than life itself.
Yes, this is a shocking revelation.
But I love Martin Short to the horror of my husband, who hates him. But Clifford, he played like a child. I mean, it's a terrible movie, but my sister and I watched it 1,000 times and would quote everything in it. And he had a pet dinosaur named Stefan and Stefan. And I couldn't even stand it. Oh, it's he was a little boy who loved dinosaurs, like Rory, and he was obsessed with Dinosaur Land, and that was his whole goal, was to get to Dinosaur Land, but he was super naughty, and he tortured everybody to get there. Yeah. Loved it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Loved every minute of that movie, but I love... Martin Short can do no wrong for me. I love him so much.
Do you love him in the Saturday Night Live skit with... Harry
yes,
so
synchronized swimming. Yes, yes. So he says, I'm not a strong swimmer. Yes. He's brilliant. I love everything about
him. You're not mad at him. You're just pointing at him.
Hey, and that, of course, Waiting for Guffman. Yeah. And, you know, he was the six-fingered man in Princess Bride. He was in Spinal Tap. He's married to Jamie Lee Curtis. And his name is... I know him because I worship him, and I can't even think.
Well, Harry Shearer was the other guy, and then it was...
Harry Shearer's a voice on The Simpsons.
Christopher Guest.
Christopher Guest, that's what I meant. I love Christopher Guest, too. He's beyond brilliant.
Yes.
Beyond. And Harry Shearer is a voice on The Simpsons and is beyond brilliant as well. Was in Spinal Tap. And in that skit, too.
Right.
Just a... Really, men that wouldn't even think twice of on the street, and I love every single one of those men so much that if I could have them over for dinner, I would be so fangirling and giddy. I would kill. I would just die. I would die before I could meet them. Jason Momoa could be knocking at the door, and I'd be like, you know what? You're gonna have to hold on. I'm Martin Short at my table, and I love him so much.
Oh my God.
That's how much I love him.
Yeah.
Brandon Lee was in The Crow and got shot.
That happened
in
94.
Bullet. Yes.
Yeah.
The Crow, I thought was a good movie. Yeah. I mean, it's the good... Poor it's Brandon
dark.
Lee. He would have been, I think, a really big star.
He was attractive.
Muriel's Wedding, another independent movie that was amazing. Mm-hmm.
I did like that.
Serial Mom with John Waters. He directed it. John Waters can do no wrong. If you know John Waters.
I do, but what
he's
is that
brilliant.
Show?
It was with Kathleen Turner, and she was a suburban mom, but also at the same time a serial killer.
Oh my God.
So it was actually really good. I saw that in the theater in California too. And it was,
maybe my mom
and
didn't
she was
let me
obsessed with what's his name? I can't think because I've had...
What happened? How many
the singer,
things have you had to drink?
I only had one.
She was obsessed with
Mandy,
Wanya Morris.
You came...
Barry Manilow. Yeah.
Barry Manilow. She was obsessed with Barry Manilow, and so she would play Barry Manilow when she would do her murders.
When she was murdering people?
Yes. So some pretty good... and then that Lorinda, everyone has that one friend. We have Lorinda, who has three stories to her name and tells them endlessly, 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 endlessly.
In the same verbiage.
And then sometimes we'll pull out a gem, and that is her Nell impression. That movie Nell with the twins that grew up in the woods or whatever. Jodie Foster.
Say in the rain.
and she'll do a Nell impression that kills it. And it's like, you had this Nell impression in your holster the whole time, and you're telling us these terrible stories, and
then you can pull this off? How to make lefse? Yeah.
Terrible. And then she'll come out with a gem. So
damn, that
movie. And that movie's special too, because that's where Liam Neeson met Natasha mm-hmm. Richardson, and they fell in love and got married, and then she passed on a ski accident.
Sadly. Oh.
TV shows were Cosby Mysteries.
Mm-mm.
Who gave that man another show? And they knew. They had to know.
I can't even talk about Bill Cosby.
No.
I can't. I'm sorry.
And Living Color ended, which was one of my favorites.
Yeah, you and Phil, you both yes. love that.
That started when I was in seventh grade, and I remember thinking, oh my God, does anyone else know about the show and how brilliant it is? Oh, I loved it. Anyway.
Do you want to know, besides Boys to Men, do you want to know?
Yes, I do.
One of my favorite songs from 1994 was Regulators, Mount Up. Do you remember that song?
I do.
Jamie Regulate still plays by it. Warren G. Yep.
I do. That's very 94.
Oh my God. And who could forget the cult classic that is still playing by my 16-year-old daughter to this day? I shit you not. She played it yesterday when she was getting ready for work. All I Want for Christmas Is You.
We'll never escape it.
By Mariah Carey.
Think of the royalties she makes on that one song.
That's all alone. She needed.
And just, it's a great song. It is.
It's amazing. She probably
pulled that out of her ass in 15 minutes.
She probably did.
Yeah. Oh my God. And that's all she needed. Because and then she had,
the rest of her antics are complete.
Yeah. You can be a fool Insanity. If you have that much talent. I think you can just be a complete fool.
Yeah. I mean, the but butterflies. But then
her job is to entertain.
She is something else.
The elusive chanteuse.
But
what does that mean even? That was a record.
I don't know.
Am I an elusive chanteuse? I don't think so.
I don't think anything about us is elusive.
No.
We are just balls to the wall out there, man.
Weird. Yeah. Unfortunate.
We don't pay no mind.
We don't pay no mind to nothing.
All right.
Except Martin Short's balls.
Sorry, I can't believe Mom. You love
him. I love him Martin so much. Short. I would marry him today if I could.
Really?
Yeah, I love him. I would just stare at him all day and have him make faces at me, and I'd just be the happiest person in the world.
But do you think he would want to
sing and dance for me like Phil does? He wouldn't want to marry me.
Well, his wife sadly passed away.
He lost his wife, and he loved her so much.
He loved her. Yeah. I know.
It's so sad. Oh, he toured here with Steve Martin, and I wanted mm-hmm. to go.
I wanted
so
to go
bad.
Too because I kind of feel that way about Steve Martin.
I think. And well, we had something going on.
A conference we had where we had to learn things
about Pilates. This story is
Gary. Can you cut that?
Gary,
part
cut
out?
That part out. Thanks. Gary's our producer. Yeah. He's very thin. You can see right through him. Gary, you dumb bitch.
Mm-mm.
This Forensic Files is called Shot of Vengeance, and I saw it, heard it a long time ago, and it was so horrifying that it stuck with me. And Forensic Files is currently a podcast as well. So my daughter and mm-hmm. I listen to them all the time,
mm-hmm.
900 times a day.
They're a great quick listen.
Right. And this one came up again, and I remember just how horrifying it is. It is so unbelievable that someone would do this to someone else that it just blows your mind. It's just, they use the word diabolical, which is,
I think I wrote it down. Like, it was something like worse than diabolical because it reminded me of, what's the other show? Dateline.
Date with Dateline always makes fun of diabolical.
It was insidious, he said. Yeah, insidious. This was beyond diabolical. It was insidious.
Which,
and that is true.
It's very true.
Mm-hmm.
It you just can't believe that this was something that popped into someone's head. Oh,
and was
dick.
Like, I'm going to do it.
Right. We go, as we said, to 1994. We meet Janice Trahan.
Trahan.
Trahan. It's Trahan.
It was a weird
pronunciation. Right. Trahan, who was a single mom at the time. She had two children. She was working as a nurse. She was in Lafayette, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. My brain went right to True Blood, but they were Bon Ton, Louisiana, and Lafayette was the cook that I loved. Oh. If you've ever seen True Blood, I really like that show. She starts developing really just weird symptoms. She's starting to feel really sick. She gets kind of what you had.
I was just going to say
where
that.
Her eyes were hurting. Her eye sockets were really sore and she would move her eyes and it was just painful.
Mm-hmm.
Which will make sense when we find this out because they're related viruses, actually.
Correct. Yes. Okay.
She goes to the doctor and she must have gone to my doctors because they said, you're fine. Just move on with your life. Nothing's wrong with you. As I get usually. Nothing's wrong with you. You're fine. I don't understand why you're here. Not only do you weigh 1,900 pounds, as it says
so on
this chart.
You're morbidly obese. And
they put the wrong weight in
the
file.
You guys, one time Sarah said her paper set, and she even brought him to school to show us because she was like,
"No one believes me.
I was morbidly obese." And we're like, "Sarah, that's not even funny. You're not morbidly obese. Stop it. You're catastrophizing." This is our line to Sarah. You're catastrophizing things again. And then she fucking brought it, and it said she was, what did it say?
298.
Like 200. Oh, I thought it was
298.
298 pounds.
Well, not fine if you're 298, but fine. I was like at but the time like 145
no.
or something, you know.
And the whole thing like the was all wrong.
Yeah,
and she was
all
like,
of my files were wrong. Yes. And I'm like, well, no
this
wonder
is not even me.
Yeah. Like everything in my file was just shit. Mm-hmm. But my doctor now is good. But past doctors were difficult. Where
I had the same doctor, and
but
she
you
was
liked
lovely.
Her, but she didn't care for me. Anyway, they pretty much told her it was sinus pain and to fuck off. Mm-hmm. So she went, okay, sure. Right. So then she went to several doctors. They all told her it's sinus pain, fuck off. And she went, okay. Mm-hmm. And then it was time for her to go to the gyno, as all women do. And her gyno, thank God, listened to her and took a whole range of blood tests.
I also noticed that her lymph nodes were enlarged.
Very swollen. She gets her test results back, but this is where we see the detective that it was on the case the whole time. His name is Jim Kraft, and for some reason he had blusher on, but it was charcoal briquettes. Did you notice how it wasn't pink blusher? It was charcoal black cheeks.
No.
So he must have put, maybe he was a goth, he put black blusher on, and they would have said, Jim, why do you got black cheeks? And he went, I just love it. I love putting charcoal
there's
briquettes.
Nothing I love more.
I love going to my barbecue, my grill, and picking out the ash and rubbing it on my face.
Oh my God, you're right.
He has black blush on. I don't get it. Unless he's very ill, I apologize. Don't wear black blush. That's a weird look. You can't, no one can pull it off. Maybe Marilyn Manson.
No. It is, maybe like a 5 o'clock shadow. Would your whiskers go all the way up to your
It could
cheek?
Be possible, but I don't know. And this is not a thin man where it's sunken in cheeks.
No, no.
No, he has black charcoal briquette blusher. And you know what?
You
it's
guys
a look.
Check our Facebook group. I will snap
right.
a pic of
I was
this.
Bad with pictures last week. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just
we were
couldn't pull
crushed
it together.
By life.
So Black Blush, Jim Kraft, said Janice got her results and at the same time she's thrilled and also devastated. Mm-hmm. So these results to the normal woman going in unsuspecting would be to it. I would say absolutely horrifying where you run down the hall and jump out the window.
Right.
Not only did she find out she's fucking pregnant and unaware, like just not planned. She has HIV. That was why her eye sockets hurt. Now, COVID is similar to HIV, they're finding, with their T cells and stuff. So I wonder, you, when you had COVID, had ocular pain.
My first.
I wonder if they
symptom.
Are some sort of relation to virus pain symptoms.
And Yeah, that was the first that I had. I was kind of aching my hips, and then the next day I opened my eyes, and it was like someone was stabbing the back of my eyeballs. And any time I just even moved my eyes,
terrible. So I'm assuming that's what she felt.
Ugh.
But I have read that HIV acts similar to SARS COVID.
Well, I and related.
You possibly could have HIV. I don't know. We don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
I doubt it, though. So not only is she pregnant, which she was thrilled, but knowing her complications, her relationship status at the time, she shouldn't have been thrilled.
No. I was a little confused by her.
And
life.
Then, of course, devastated. The HIV is, devastation. So she thought, holy shit. She looked at, how would I have gotten this? She's a nurse at a hospital, and she does deal with HIV-positive patients. She could have been exposed, but hospitals are pretty careful. She seemed very intelligent. It seemed like she would be very careful and follow protocol. So that would be a long shot. So she thought maybe it was one of her sexual partners, which is also very possible. You know, that's
right.
Obviously. Her current partner, but at the time was not her current partner, but the last man she dated, his name was Dr. Richard Schmidt. And again, at school, I would have called him shit the whole time. Hey, shit! Your parachute pants look awesome,
What's
dude.
What's up, shitty?
Shit stain. What's it going? What's for lunch, shit bag?
Did you know that when Magic Johnson found out that he was HIV positive, his wife was pregnant?
Oh, my goodness. And he's been just HIV for a long time.
The newlyweds found out that she was pregnant with their first child.
And sucks all
so,
around.
Yes. It was very early in the pregnancy. And
I bet she was terrified.
Correct. She didn't know if she had it.
Or the baby.
If the baby had it.
Well, that's the same boat that Janet ended up being in. So Shitty, Dr. Shitty Schmidt told colleagues his theory about Janice. So this was a partner of Janice's boyfriend. They're currently exes at this time. He told everyone at work that Janice is a slut. That she goes to bars at night, and bars during the day.
Can
Who would
you
ever go to a bar during the day?
That she sleeps around, he told
and
everyone.
And she goes home with strange men, and she's sleeping around. So that meant everyone he worked with jumped up and tried to get her number immediately. You know they did, those men. So she's single.
Hi, Janice. What are you doing
Janice,
later?
Janice, I heard you go to bars during the day. I heard that means you're a slut.
I was going to be there at 11 o'clock a.m. Would you like to meet me?
I mean, she sounds like Blanche Devereaux, and Blanche Devereaux is the best. So who cares?
We love
anyway.
Janice.
What a dickhole! So right away, we're introduced to Dr. Richard Smith.
We
Schmidt,
should call him
Shitty.
Dr. Dick.
Dr. Shit, Dick Shit.
Yep.
And he's already a huge dick. Janice ended her pregnancy out of fears that the baby, again, this is 1994, out of fears that the baby was going to be born with HIV, and just, you know, I mean, you didn't. What did you know? You know, and that's
nothing.
You know, that's what she felt was best for her to do. And she tried to kind of pull herself together and figure out what in the hell happened. The next step was she thought, okay, maybe it was someone I've had a relationship with. So all of her lovers, I don't know how many they didn't say, from the past 10 years, went in to have HIV testing, and none of them were HIV positive. So she starts thinking, okay, what the hell? They show a picture of Janice. It's very, well, I mean, she had like a very crispy perm.
Yeah.
I think it was her nursing picture. Very early 90s. Crispy perm, smiling. It must be for her nurse's badge, because I think she was wearing her nursing outfit. And she right away just says, fuck this. I know what happened. Just knows in her head what happened instantly after she's all like, of her lovers are HIV negative. She goes straight to the prosecutor. Mm-hmm. Straight to the prosecutor, who to me, his name was Mike Harson. He looked like Bert from Bert and Ernie, like a live Bert. I kind of thought a live Muppet.
Hmm.
A bird.
I don't know about that, but okay.
She said Dr. Dick Shit did this to her. He infected her with HIV. Right away, every man in her circumference pretty much says, bitch, you're full of shit. Right. No, he didn't.
Because he was so respected.
He was such a respected doctor, man. In the community that this bitch had to be lying. The prosecutor has Dr. Charcoal Cheeks, I mean, Detective Charcoal Cheeks, look into it and say, is she telling the truth or what? Did this guy infect her with HIV? Because that's kind of shitty if he did. If not, she's just a lying bitch and let's just move on.
Right.
Pretty much that's the effort they put into it right away.
She basically ended up having to say, like, I have been in a relationship with Dick Shit.
Right.
Dr. Dick Shit.
Yeah.
And he did this. Yeah. And then one of them even said, this was a very respected doctor. He, like, didn't work at a fat farm or anything. Did you hear that?
Oh, my God.
Yes, I wrote it down. Didn't work at a fat farm.
Oh.
What the hell?
Who would even, in whenever this was made, 2001, would say fat farm?
We have to
And what does that mean, fat farm? And a respected doctor would not work at a fat farm?
She said, that son of a bitch infected me. And then they were like, wait a minute, lady. He's a respected doctor. He doesn't work at a fat farm.
He doesn't give shots to chickens. He doesn't work with fatties. Oh, my God. You think he just spends his time with fatties all day? This man's respected. Just
telling them to count their calories. And
oh, my God. Just all around.
We
got to
find that audio and, like, how you figured out you're so savvy.
Yeah, we can try to do that. Yeah I'll try to do that.
Because he really said that.
Dr. Charcoal Cheeks. Detective Charcoal Cheeks again brings up that he's, you know, this respected man, and she's, you know, God forbid the woman has bad things to say about him.
And she has been known to frequent bars during the day.
Yes. Janice explains that she met Dr. Dick Shit years earlier. She was a brand new nurse, in fact, still in graduate school, and she was going through orientation at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Dick Shit worked at that same hospital. They struck up a friendship.
They were both married to other people.
Yes, and at had the time. Kids. Yes, and had families with these other people. Janice said she was very attracted to Dr. Dick Shit's intelligence. And eventually, this friendship mm-hmm. became a sexual relationship. They started dating. Janice did divorce her husband because she was mm-hmm. hearing promises from Dr. Shit that he would also get a divorce and they would be married and be together. And she thought this would happen. So she did her end. She divorced her husband and waited, as Dr. Shit did nothing. So 1981 comes around. Janice gets pregnant with a son, Dr. Shit's son. She gives birth to their son. He still does not leave his wife or his family, but he's paying her child support.
This whole thing was so bizarre to me.
Your whole pregnancy, he's like, yeah, I'll leave you. Yeah, I'll leave you. Yep.
And his wife clearly knew that he had a baby. How was he hiding all the money?
How would he hide all of this? Giving child support. What's wrong with her?
Just, how do you hide a baby?
You can do better.
It's bizarre.
So then Janice says she tried to leave. She realized after having the kid and he's still would not leave his wife, that maybe he's not that serious about her and maybe he's lying to her.
He's just not that into you.
She tried to leave, Janice. She said, many times, and he turned psycho. He threatened her. He threatened to kill her. His first threat was that he would put sexually explicit photos he took of her up on the bulletin board where she worked. But that would look bad at him because she's not doing that herself. She obviously could say he did it. He's on camera probably doing it if it's a hospital. I mean, if Jamie did that to me, everybody would be like, good God, take these down. We're trying to eat in this lunchroom. This is absolutely horrible. They would just be absolutely disgusted and say, nice try for attention, you dumb bitch. But get this foulness off. But of course, to her, she's probably like, God, he's crazy enough to do it, I bet. And how embarrassing. You don't want your cooch out at work.
No, you don't. No.
No one wants a coworker to see your bush.
Usually not.
Usually not.
No.
Then.
Or never.
Or never. No. Never. Just never. He said that Dr. Shit told the dean of the nursing school also that she plagiarized her assignments.
I'm going to tell on you.
I just say, go ahead, fucker, because I didn't. Yeah. What are they going to do, you idiot?
Right?
She does then try to date other people. Richard goes batshit nuts and follows her on her dates.
Again, he's still married.
He's married and has other children with his wife.
Yeah, but every once in a while, he'd find out that Janice had a hot date and he'd psych out and go scream at the guy in public. Or the last thing he said was he would tell her he was going to kill her or say, I'll fix it so no man will ever want you.
What are you doing, you idiot?
Leave your wife or shut up.
But at this point, I would say, you know what? Ish. So she does break up with him. She stops seeing him as a sexual partner and seeing him as her doctor. Good.
Thank you for making that good choice.
But he comes over to her house still occasionally to give her B12 shots for lethargy. I didn't know you could take Well, I guess you can take B12 shots. Is that a thing and get energy?
I don't know. I've never had a shot unless it was a
flu shot.
Inoculation. Yes. Is that what they're called?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, like a vaccine.
She would still have him come over and give her these shots, which I think is just still odd.
Very odd when you are supposed to be like, I'm done with you.
But then she's a nurse. Can't you just do it to yourself?
Yeah, don't have.
Why do you have to have this doctor fucking douchebag
because
do it?
Because she was like, probably like codependent, like, yeah, can I come over? And then was hoping they could get it on.
Right. And then he'll love me again.
Gross.
August 4th, Janice is asleep. It is between 10 and 11 p.m. Dr. Shit calls her and says he's coming over immediately to give her her B12 shot. For I would say, hold up, bitch.
I'm sleeping.
It's 11 p.m. I don't want an energy shot right now. Well, this is inappropriate. Bitch. I am not coming to get wound up on B12. What are you doing? Knock it off. I would say, do not come here.
Unless it's a shot of melatonin, right. I'm out.
This is not the appropriate time, dickhead. He comes over, gives her the shot, and she said it was the most painful thing she'd felt in a shot. It was very, very painful. So very different from the other shot she received. Yes. Then he seemed very anxious, very nervous, and he took off like a bolt of lightning, picked up his stuff, and just ran out
the door.
There was
no hanky-panky.
Right. So I'm sure it was a booty call, this B12 shot, before, and she's maybe thinking that's what it is. But he gives her the shot and takes off. So she thinks, what a douchebag, whatever. Janet, now looking back, knows, okay, that in that shot that was super painful, he gave me HIV in that shot. He was acting really weird. That's when I got it. And she's certain of it. Janice continued to tell this to the police. And this is where Charcoal Cheeks literally even tells her, I don't even believe her story. He said, at first, I didn't believe her story. I said, you're just trying to get cash out of this guy. You're trying to discredit him and get money. What a dick. But thankfully, he did his fucking job. And he actually did a pretty good job after that to try to look into Janice's story. Janice gave blood a few times. In fact, it was a few months earlier. They checked that blood. That blood was not HIV positive.
So they realized that she had just gotten it.
And it matches her story at that point. Detectives check Dr. Shit's phone records and realize he called her the exact night. Like she said, it was like 10:40 at night. Who gives someone B12 shots at 10:40 at night? What an idiot. And they said, that's super weird. And I think right then when they saw that, they started realizing her story is legit. We got to work our ass off to figure out what to do. They needed more proof, though. All they had was this call. Dr. Shit's clinic kept very good records of everyone that went into the clinic and gave blood. They would put a tracker sticker so they could track the blood sample getting tested. And they kept notes of every single person that came into clinic, what time, what were they giving blood for, in their tracker sticker. So they went to find out, okay, did anyone go on August 4th and give blood that day? They knew it had to probably be that day because HIV has a 12-hour window where it degrades after 12 hours and dies in the vial.
And so the virus would not, if you gave it to somebody, yeah, like a day later, it wouldn't infect anybody.
Right, it would die. So they knew it had to be, because she was given it at like 11 p.m. Right. or whatever, it had to be within that day that the blood was drawn.
And they said that one, I don't remember who said it, but they were like, HIV blood is hard to get. It's not like you can just
right
go in and get yourself some HIV.
I'm going to take that one blood. And that HIV positive one. I'm going to take that one. I'm going to take that dirty looking old blood. I'm going to take that cow's blood. I'm going to take that bat blood. I'm going to take that other HIV blood. Give me two of that HIV blood.
Like, really?
I think we figured that out. Nobody wants HIV blood.
I can't just go buy HIV positive blood.
Just go to Target. That's weird. Ring it out, the checkout. My HIV blood is not ringing out. I'm using the scanner and it is not ringing up.
Can you help me? Can you turn my light blinking on?
Oh, geez.
I need a manager.
All right. Charcoal Cheeks goes in to Dr. Shit's office looking for his ledger.
After he said, I don't believe this
right.
girl.
Right. Who's total dick.
Fucker Charcoal.
He says, I want the books for August 4th, 1994. And oh, that one book is missing. Every
it's
other book is
so
there.
Weird.
That one is missing.
So weird.
They look all over the office. They do find the sexual photos of Janice in his desk.
And he, God only knows what he was doing with them.
Good God, ish. What a perv.
Gross.
And now they're thinking, okay, that's correct about what she told us. She's telling everything she said is true. They were about to leave when they find a locked storage room. What? Did you not look around enough? Oh. So they go into the locked storage room and it's full of boxes. So they thankfully go through every single box.
Because you keep talking and I could never be a detective. Never.
No, you need to just
never
think.
Because I would have just been like, that's a lot of boxes. Yeah, it's old shit anyway. And just lock her back up. Like, no, I don't really want to
do
that.
They go through everything.
Thank God they did.
They went through every single box. And the last one they checked that's kind of hidden in the corner and buried away was from 1982. And they still look inside.
I know, because that's when I would have been like, right. Nope.
They dig everything up and buried at the bottom of the 1982 box was the 1994 ledger for August.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bingo. Here it is, hidden away.
And what a dumbass for
idiot.
Just
they notice as per usual next to every single patient was the tracking sticker. So and so went in, gave blood, tracking sticker. Da, 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 da. Only one patient for August 4th that day did not have a tracking sticker, but his name was still there. And the fact that he came in and gave blood, his name was Don with two N's. Either the nurse was high as a kite and spelled Don with two N's, or this bitch has a Don with two N's. D-O-N-N?
Because first I thought, is it Don like the girl named Don? And I was trying to see if the two N's was like maybe a W and then an N. But then when they talk about going over an interview and they say he.
Yeah.
So I think he does.
So Don McClelland had a lavender stopper. Or his description said lavender stopper for Dr. Schmidt and no tracker sticker. So they're very suspicious. They go, thankfully, right over to Don with two N's and talk to him. The police say, they knock on the door and Don with two N's answers and they go, are you HIV positive? And Don says, HIV positive? Hell, I've got full-blown AIDS.
He said that. That's what they said at Forensic Pass. They said it.
He was like, what do you want to know? Oh. So right then they think, gosh, well, Don, so far so good, Don. And then Don says that he never even made an appointment. The doctor shit just called him, told him to come in and give blood. So he's like, well, I guess whatever. And then
what
left
the
and went
hell?
Home. I mean, he didn't know. He doesn't care. And right then they're like, bing. That's when they said Insidious. Mm-hmm. They knew what he did. They knew he was guilty. They knew Janice was right.
Yep.
And what they thought they had to do now is try to further prove that Don with two N's strain is identical to Janice's strain of HIV. And through forensic files, bing, bang, boom, science that Megan just doesn't listen to.
I wrote blah, 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 sciencey stuff.
They do find out that the DNA of the virus that Don had of HIV was exact to the virus strain of Janice, which in fact was a rarer form of HIV. So it would be very uncommon for her to get Don's kind of HIV through never even knowing Don, really. And they tested like 30 other strains that were totally different. And those two matched exactly.
Yes,
so they knew it came from him.
They tested 30 strains. Right. 28 had totally different
everything.
Patterns.
Viruses, yeah. Except.
And two had the same pattern.
And that was Janice and Don.
Yes.
Dr. Schmidt then is immediately charged with second degree murder, which is weird. I guess because she wasn't killed right away. I don't know. How was it second?
I don't know, because he planned that motherfucker out.
A lot in 1996. They go into more detail, though, that we're still unaware. And they say when she was diagnosed with HIV, they also tell her she had hepatitis C.
And a baby.
And she's pregnant. Did they go, and you got Ebola? What? And you got hantavirus? And you got the gonorrhea? What? And you got the typhoid. What? You got some kind of black plague. No. You got the syphilis.
Coronavirus 94.
You got the diphtheria. You got the prostate cancer. How? You got elephantitis of the nuts. What? You got tennis elbow. No. You got the rabies. How? That vagitis is bad. Well, I know. I mean, my God. You got the gingivitis. Well, yeah. You got IBS. Oh, geez, do I know that. You got malaria. Yep. You got the smallpox. You got the colitis. What in the hell? This woman in that day. What do you do from then? Do you go home?
I hope she went to the bar during the day.
She was pregnant.
Oh, shit.
Oh, jeez.
At that point, it would have been worth it.
Yeah. Just say, you know what? Whatever. Mm-hmm. So they realized Dr. Dick Shit not only gave her HIV 2 days before he took Don with two N's AIDS blood, he took the blood from a patient of his that he knew had hepatitis C.
And was like, I'll just put this in for a little extra oomph.
Right.
What?
Mixed them together and gave it to her.
Just in case the HIV don't kill her, the hepatitis C will take out her liver.
I can't even.
Is that what hepatitis C does?
I think it does. You turn like yellow and stuff, don't you? I have vaccine for that. And I'm rabies free. Or, I mean, I have a rabies. I cannot get rabies, I guess.
You
is what
can't?
I'm trying to say. No, because when I fed
because
the squirrels.
Because of the squirrels.
Yeah. Squirrels, I guess, do not get rabies because you didn't need a rabies shot for the squirrels, but I fed the baby bats and then you did. They looked like tiny puppies with wings. They were cute.
No, thank you.
Super cute. Dr.
Hepatitis
Shit.
Hepatitis C.
Yeah, look up what it does.
Curable cause of liver disease.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what I said?
Awful. Liver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was right.
Smart. Dr. Shit maintains his innocence, of course, because he's a dick.
Well, he's trying to hide the HIV underneath his toupee, which, by the way, was atrocious.
Well, it was a He-Man wig with a comb over.
Atrocious. But part of me, he looked like Snape.
Yeah.
An ugly Snape.
Yes.
With a horrible toupee.
That's an insult to Snape.
It is an insult to Snape, because I really liked that guy, but... I can't remember what his name is in real life, but he was in...
He was Hans from Die Hard.
Everything That I Love in...
Everything. He's the best. You look him up.
Right now, people are screaming.
They've been screaming at us the whole show because we can't because think of anyone's name. Because we can't think name. Of
his name, but he's in Love Actually, remember? And he cheats on his wife with a stupid whore of a...
That
whatever.
Whore. He gave the necklace to the whore, right?
Yes, and then
the
gave his wife, Joni Mitchell.
Oh, Jesus. Idiot. Dr. Schmidt says he was at home with his wife, and she verifies his alibi, except said she said she had a 20-minute bath.
A bath again?
Ugh, these wives and their baths.
Police, she's lucky she didn't drown.
Then say, all right, bitch, I'm going to call you on this. And they do the drive from Dr. Shitty's house to Janice's house, mm-hmm. pretend to give a shot, and drive mm-hmm. back, and they can do it in 17 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So he completely could have been gone during her bath with her none the wiser. They discuss why did he keep the 1994 book that spilled his whole plan. They just say
right.
it was like Buffalo Bill and Silence of the Lambs and every serial killer a trophy. So he can look back at it and jerk or whatever they do with their trophies.
Ew.
And just relive their times when they did something so terrible. Oh, what an idiot. He then is guilty, thank God. He gets 50 years of hard labor. What does that mean? Breaks rocks?
No.
What does that mean?
What does it mean?
I don't know what the hard labor part means. Do they still do that in Louisiana where
does
you go
that mean
and
you
like
have
on
to
a chain
stay
gang?
Stay in the prison, but then you do hard
stuff? I don't
stuff?
Know. Build license
or
plates?
What?
Break rocks? Pick up trash?
Someone help us. Can you please help us understand hard
Janice
labor.
Though is still alive.
They
I looked
should
up.
Impregnate
she is a
him
grandma. She got him, remarried. Yeah.
They should make him have actual labor. That
right.
you fucker.
That's
yeah.
what they should do to these men. And Dr. Shit is still in jail.
Okay,
rotting.
So whoops, I interrupted you. Tell about
I said Janice is alive
yes.
still. She looks very happy, doing well. She has grandchildren. She remarried.
Mm-hmm.
She seemed at the end very happy and very positive and seemed to be looking forward and just not letting this get her down, which, my God, you can kind of understand why it would get you down. And Dr. Shit is in jail still. His appeals all were denied. His parole was denied. So he is rotting. Good. Idiot.
You would, yes, want him to rot and his horrible, horrible toupee to
oh my
rot
gosh.
In hell.
Maybe he takes the toupee off and talks to it at night and it's his friend.
I don't
does puppet shows for the other prisoners.
Can I come over to your house and give you a shot of B12?
Yeah, I'll give you a shot of B12. Oh.
And maybe have a little bit of that hepatitis C left.
Oh.
His name was Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman, I knew that. I knew it. He was a wonderful actor. Ugh. Too soon. Too soon. Anyway, he didn't even pay for a fucking divorce from his own fucking wife.
Dumb.
Idiot. I hate this man. I'm glad he is. Just absolute evil. Truly evil.
He was worse than diabolical.
This shocked me.
And he didn't even have to pay for a fucking divorce because he could have just said, okay, you don't, I'm already married to my wife. I'm going to stay married
right,
to her.
Let's just break up.
Bye. But have fun taking care of
right,
my baby.
Right.
But instead he like didn't want her, but didn't want anyone else to have her either.
Yes.
It's a classic case of just a huge dickism.
Yeah, and narcissism and all of that. Oh, butthole. Anyway, if you enjoyed this, look at our show notes. We have a Linktree website that takes us to all of our stuff, all of our social media, Patreon. We have a Facebook group that you can join and follow along.
Hit up our Insta and our Facebook so you can see pictures of
these
charcoal
idiots.
Cheeks of Detective Charcoal Cheeks.
Yeah. In dick and shit.
Dr. Dick shits.
With his He-Man wig comb over.
Yeah, we got some good ones.
Anyway, we hope you enjoyed our latest episode. this. And we hope you listen again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.